And away we go. Welcome back to Motoring Millennials with Anthony Lucci and Zach Rothenberger. Zach, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. It's always good to be here on the microphone with you, Lucci. winding down 2020, quite a year, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Hard to believe, but it's over. We've made it.
It was all a disastrous blur.
Yeah, that
is we're two of the fortunate ones. So, you know, counting our blessings, of course. But regardless of 2020, we're here to talk about 2020, recap what we did from a motoring perspective in 2020, and also what we're looking ahead for in 2021. Some of the highlights and some of the great things ahead, not just for us, but just for the whole motoring community in general. So before we get into that, just to recap our last episode, we talked about the history and the evolution of the Christmas tree, not just the Christmas tree in your living room, but also the Christmas tree at the drag strip. We found out some pretty cool information, and we hope you listened and checked it out as well. Some pretty cool little facts and a little history lesson for you there. And then also recently we had an interview with Bill Rothermel. Bill, literally the title of the podcast says it all. He's an automotive encyclopedia, from his involvement with the AACA Museum to his many adventures at the concourse shows that he's the master of ceremonies for. The guy is amazing, has some great stories, so be sure to check it out.
That being said, him back on at some point down the road.
Yeah, we do. We're going to check out the AACA Museum. He's going to give us a tour. We're really looking forward to that. We'll be sure to talk about that on an upcoming show in 2021. So that's one of the things we're looking forward to. And yeah, with that being said, 2020 from a motoring perspective was a pretty cool year, I'd say, for us. We had some additions more in the early part of 2020, but Lucci, let's start off. This is the pinnacle of our motoring accomplishments in 2020, if you ask me.
You think so?
Oh, I do. Absolutely. This is a milestone event for both of us, especially you.
Not only for me.
No. That's right.
So, for those who don't know, what Zach is talking about is something that he was hoping that would happen for, what, 6 years?
Yeah, well, I remember we were sitting at the bar in like 2014. We were fresh out of college. We talked about
Hold on. What is a bar? You can sit at a bar?
The bar exam? No, the actual bar. Yeah, no, I know. It's going to be crazy when the world actually opens up and we can sit at a bar again.
But yeah, when we were talking about both having F bodies, I think you just got your Camaro at that point.
Before. We were talking about this back in like 2014, and I got mine in 2017. So I've been only waited 3 years for this, but hey, I'm patient.
Yeah. And so, let's talk a little bit about the Trans Am that, joined the Motor and Millennials family. Just to give everyone a quick rundown, and I inquired about this car back in August of 2019, found it on Facebook Marketplace, which was one of the many places you can look to find a vehicle that you're looking to add to your collection, as we talked about in previous podcasts. And it was located, about 2.5 hours away from where I was. Down around Baltimore, Maryland. And the car had a decent amount of miles on it, 138,000 miles, but I knew I wasn't keeping the car stock, so I wasn't too concerned about the mileage anyways. So, like Zach said, this whole year has been kind of a blur and kind of anything prior to. So I don't really remember what happened between August and January, but wasn't certain about the car and wasn't really ready to buy it. And then he actually ended up taking it off the market, the seller. I think that was around maybe October or November. And then come January 2020, he reached out to me and told me that the car was available for sale again. And I was like, oh, great. This is actually a good time. I'm ready to buy a car. I was like, literally a couple of days before, just thinking about looking for one again. And then he sent me a few more pictures of it, but this time the car wasn't yellow anymore. It was now purple.
Barney.
Like Barney, yeah. Well, so, and Zach, maybe you know, because you know from, obviously, those who are listening, go check out Sidetracked, right?
Yeah,
Sidetracked. Mm-hmm. Zach's other podcast that he has, which is everything sports related. Nice. Zach, when did Kobe pass away?
Thanks for the shout out. It was January.
Okay, so yeah, perfect. Yeah. That was exactly the time. And so this must have been the end of January. And from what I'm told, the seller was a big Kobe fan, and he plasti dipped the car purple in honor of Kobe. Nice gesture, but just not the right car to do it to.
That's right. I could tell when we met him, I think he had a pair of basketball shoes on, and with the car being a collector's edition, you know, the yellow underneath offset of the purple. So we see what he did there.
It wasn't that bad, but it just wasn't my taste. So anyways, I'm like, all right, whatever, we can handle the paint. So March, actually the week prior to COVID starting, I went down to go look at the car, took it for around the block. And I mean, obviously it's not a perfect car, not a show car, but I was like, yeah, this will do. I ended up striking a deal. And April sat around when lockdown happened. We just waited. First weekend of May, I think as soon as the U-Hauls opened back up, got a trailer, took my truck down. Zach, you came with me and went down, picked the car up. I think it was early on a Saturday morning, loaded her up. And then I actually ended up storing the car in a warehouse that my work owns for a little bit while I moved into a new house. So I moved during all of this craziness going on this year. And now I finally got the car in my garage and working on it slowly, getting a lot of silly things fixed on it, that turn signals, put a new shifter in it. Car had a battery drain from a silly equalizer and iPhone 2 port that someone had in the car from back in the day. So yeah, just a lot of silly stuff, but we ended up getting the car straightened out, and I'm really, really looking forward to springtime. But I think, like you said, Zach, it was a good motoring milestone for us this year, right?
I like that. To all the listeners, though, you're underselling. The car is sweet. The car is nice. It sounds great. It looks great. And it's yellow now. The purple has been removed.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Most of it.
So it's going to be terrorizing the streets here shortly. That's for sure. It was definitely a great moment because it was something that I thought was special, too, because we both have talked about this for several years now. We both have it, and it's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I guess this is what it's all about. You talk about these things and it's like, all right, obviously we all know that there's a lot of work that goes into not only saving up for a project car and then all the time and effort put into it and the research you got to do and working on the car itself. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not like you just, you know, clap your hands and it's done. So it's, you're right. You got to, you know, kind of sit back and say, you know, wow, it's impressive. We're able to accomplish that. And, hopefully next year we have a lot more car shows and stuff like that, and we can have both the cars together finally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're cousins or their brothers, whatever you want to call it. So they got to meet. So.
Sisters.
Yeah. Sisters. Yeah.
So, Zach, what about, on your Camaro? I know you got some work done on your Camaro this year.
Yeah, so it was a pretty big year, I'd say, for my Camaro. You know, I put a new transmission, new torque converter, upgraded fuel injectors, did a bunch of that type of work to it. Did some chassis work with a new adjustable chromoly torque arm. And
you said that made a big difference, right?
Oh yeah, the whole it's crazy with those F bodies. You know, if you have subframe connectors, lower control arms and a torque arm, just how much more rigid the car is from a launching perspective and just how more tied together that car is, even just driving on the street. It's much more solid and just more the rigidity is just is hands down significantly better, especially being a T-top car. It's definitely something you want, something nice and firm from a racing perspective. So did that work to it, got it retuned, and it made 395 horsepower to the wheels. So, which is approximately anywhere between 470 to 500 at the engine, something like that. And,
powerhouse.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but it's enough. It's enough for me where I'm satisfied for the time being, because we're never satisfied. But, the coolest thing about it to me was I really wanted to get it to the racetrack. And, you know me, I'm a nut job when it comes to, this is the story I'll tell about the day I took to the racetrack. So Cecil County is an hour, roughly 50 minutes to an hour from where I live. And, so that morning the weather looked good. There was no rain in sight, nothing like that. So they were racing from, I think, 9 to 4 o'clock that day. So my original plan was to leave at like 8 o'clock and be there from the beginning and try to get 2 to 3 passes on it just to get some information, shake down, and hopefully make some good runs. So I literally drive out of the house. My sister's with me and we're like 10 minutes down the road. And I said, Jamie, look at the weather. And literally it shows a huge storm cloud over Cecil County and 100% chance of rain at like 10, 11 o'clock. Now, I know I'm overkill with the whole rain and driving it and all that stuff, but my car, the car has never seen rain in its life as far as I know. It's always been garage kept, so like I'm just a psycho. And I turned around and said, nope, all right, we're not going. It wasn't meant to be. We're going home. Now, remember, this literally showed 100% chance of rain only in a one-hour span. So that could have easily been, could have gone away. Could have been a glitch in the weather app on my phone. I don't know. So turn around, go home, and I'm like, now I'm pissed off. I'm like pacing in the garage, like, God dang it. Like, I really wanted to race, because we're talking like early November late October at this point in time. And the racing season is pretty much closing. And it was a 60-degree day. It was a nice day. So anyway, check my phone 30 minutes later. Oh, it's clear now. Okay. So at this point in time, it's like, we're talking like 11 o'clock in the morning, 11:30 maybe. And again, Cecil is 50 minutes to an hour away. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going. There shouldn't be too many people there. It's not going to be that many people. So I drive, everything's good. We get there in an hour, get there around like 1 o'clock, maybe by the time I get there. Now they stop racing at 4. So I had a window where I was hoping to get 2 runs. So I get teched. By the time I make my pass, it's literally 2:45 because it was crowded. It was mobbed. We pulled the corner. I was like the 12th car in line just to pay at the gate at 1 o'clock, which is great for the racetrack, great for business. But I wasn't able to make a run until like 2:45. So I knew that I probably wouldn't have been able to get another run, or if I would have, I would have been pissed off in the staging lanes waiting for hours. So I drove home, but the moral of the story is I really wanted to run below a 12-second pass in the car. So I ran a 12:06 at 113 miles per hour, which is really good mile per hour for that ET. There's still some fine tuning for sure that I can do.
What was your mile per hour?
113.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which ironically is my birthday, January 13th. So I viewed that as a little bit of an omen. So,
yeah.
But again, that's me being crazy. So, ran 12:06. I was very happy with it, considering
you're so close to the like high 11s.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right, it's there. Yeah, and my car is a heavy car. I mean, with me in it, with all the chassis work I did, it's probably close to 3,800 pounds, maybe.
How much fuel did you have in it?
It was between a quarter and half.
Okay.
So, and 1 pound of fuel is, or I'm sorry, 1 gallon of fuel is 8 pounds, and 10 pounds equals 1/100. So 100 pounds is a full 10th in an ET quarter mile when you're talking about that. So even if, yeah, it makes a difference. I don't know if I could have got it based on fuel, but
no.
So it's a 4L60E. So all I did, I had the car in drive. I just wanted to shake it down, and it ran 12:06. So my next plan is to manually shift it. I think I can get better by manually shifting it. Should hopefully launch a little harder being in first gear instead of just in drive.
I don't even think we talked about this, Zach. What was it shifting at when you went down?
Yeah, it was around 6,200, 6,300, which was good because when it was dyno, that's where it peaked horsepower at. And I really like 6,200, 6,300 because that's not super high. I'm not buzzing the crap out of the engine and putting it in harm's way or anything. Right. So overall, I'm very satisfied with the build. And I just think, you know, I held it at like 2200 RPM, the starting line. And that converter is 3600 stall. So again, it was a pretty soft run, you know.
You can launch it a lot harder.
Yeah, I could launch it up to 3600 if my car will hold, you know, with my brakes and everything. It's still a stock brake system. So
yeah,
I'm thinking if I could even hold it at 2500, 2600 and shift it manually, I think that should do it. I think that should put me in the 11s. So for me, 2020, getting to the track, shaking it down, finding that information out, seeing what it could do, I was really happy with it. I'm really proud about it. And, you know, when we talk about 2021, one of my resolutions is to hopefully get into the 11s and tweak, you know, make some of those adjustments that we just talked about. So I'm excited about it. I mean, that was good.
Like you said, you're practically right there. You're going to break in into the 11s, one of the first races out in 2021.
I hope so. That's the plan. That's the plan. But regardless, I'm really happy with it. So, you know.
And then you also added another F body to the stable this year, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. My family, we purchased a 94 Camaro. It is, it's sunset orange. So it was not the original color on the car. It was that color.
It looks so good.
I know. That's one of my favorite colors on a car, that orange. I think that color didn't come out until what, like 98? I think.
Yeah, maybe a little early. I'm
97.
Not exactly, but yeah, right around then.
Like late 90s. But anyway, it's that sunset orange. It has a 358 small block Chevy. And we're really looking forward to racing it next year. We're thinking it's around 500 horsepower, roughly. And we're thinking it should be an 11-second car. My dad and I did a lot of work on it, some tuning with the rotor and cap for the distributor was dirty and needed to be cleaned. And there wasn't really an efficient spark going to it prior. With the previous owner, there was actually four spark plugs that were broke, and like the tips of it were broke. So it definitely was not running on all eight cylinders efficiently. So we put new plugs in it, new plug wires, a new cap on the distributor, did the timing, nice oil change, some other little stuff here and there. And it really made a difference. We were out in the driveway and my dad whacked it, and it was like night and day compared to when we first bought it. So we're really excited. We're even thinking it might be a high 10-second car. Who knows? You know, it has a Power Glide, a Ford 9-inch rear, 456 gear ratio, and definitely excited. My sisters are going to be the ones racing it, so should be a fun car.
Do you know how much it weighs?
I do not. I mean, it has a roll cage in the full like chassis, you know, done. I'm thinking with a driver in it, I'm assuming it's around like 3300 probably with a driver.
So it has weight reduction done to it.
I think, yeah, it does. Yep. It has like the front K member installed, which saves a lot of weight.
Is that by
UMI, I think.
Yeah. Does that really save that much weight?
It saves a lot of weight, yeah. And it frees up a lot of space in the engine bay too.
Now, Zach, if you were to pull an engine out of one of those cars, would you pull it out of the top or the bottom?
It's a good question. If it was me, I would pull it out the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some of them, like the guys, they drop the whole cave frame.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. And with how those engines sit in those cars, like the last two cylinders, like cylinder 7 and 8 are underneath the cowl, like it's pretty far back there.
Yeah.
So dropping it underneath might actually not be a bad play. You could totally do it either way. I like taking it out over the top just because that's what I've always done my whole life. But
now is that a car that you're going to like refresh the motor after a season, or you're going to?
Yeah. After the season, just because we just know kind of the basics of the engine and the powertrain. So it wasn't really raced hard before. It was very well maintained. So we don't think, knock on wood, that it was beat too often. So we're thinking at the end of the season, we'll get it all refreshed and looked at. So definitely definitely was a great addition in 2020 and something we're really looking forward to in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like we've done a lot more than we think in 2020.
Yeah, we have. And I know we mentioned this on the one of the last shows about the Lucci Slices food truck. So that's a huge project.
Yeah.
And how was 2020 to the food truck?
Not good. Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, I'm partially, I guess I'm all to blame, to be honest. But I mean, yeah, with acquiring the Trans Am, of course, you know,
you moved as well. So,
and moving, yeah. And just really didn't have that much time. So yeah, unfortunately I didn't get as much done on the truck as I wanted to. I think the one thing though about this year is that I feel like I did, maybe that's just cause like we've been at home for so long, but I just find myself like reading a lot on the internet, like about all different kinds of topics. And I feel like I've done so much research on, whether that's like from a technical standpoint or whatever it might be. So I feel like I've gained knowledge this year, even though I haven't done like, as much work on that particular build. But yeah, so I guess for 2021, I'm really going to hit it head on as soon as the weather breaks. And I got to put a new roof on the back of the truck. I really want to get the brakes redone, and it would be amazing to get the truck under its own power again with a new engine. I have a fuel injection system for it that's going to go on the engine. So
That's great. And I mean, you know, just because there wasn't much actual physical work done doesn't mean that there wasn't progress done, because like you said yourself, you're doing a lot of research and planning, which is extremely important no matter what your build is, whether you're building a cabinet for your kitchen or whether you're building a food truck or any type of a race car. So that's definitely great. And just to paint a picture for the listeners, it's a 1956 Chevy. 1955. That's right. Yeah. And it's sweet looking too. It's really a time machine.
Yeah. They call it a low cab forward LCF. Mm-hmm. Because there's a panel on the floor inside the truck that you can remove, and you can pretty much access the entire back of the engine. That's what we need in the F bodies.
That's right. We really do. That'd be great.
But I guess that's behind the dash. It's a little bit more tricky, but
yeah. What I got to ask, what engine, what kind of power plant are you thinking about putting into it?
So, I mean, if money wasn't an object, I would put a diesel, like a Duramax diesel, or even even the Cummins 12 valve engines, I guess they're really not, you can probably get them secondhand, not that expensive. I'm just not looking to do anything that crazy right now. Maybe like down the road, I'll end up doing some more modifications to the truck. But the truck had a 350 in it when I got it. It was originally a 283. Someone put a 74 350 in it. Actually, Zach, you and I pulled the pan off the bottom end and found out it was a two block.
That's right. That's right. And yeah.
That
yeah,
was
two bolt. Decision. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Two bolt. Yeah. Mm. And that was made the decision not to keep that engine block, specifically in a heavy duty truck. You need something a little bit, you know, more stout.
Yeah.
So I am going to be getting a 383 stroker for it.
Mm. Can't go wrong with those.
Yeah, I mean, it puts out plenty of torque. I mean, a lot of people said, "Oh, why don't you put a big block in it?" And like, I could, but like, the truck's not going to go that fast.
Well, and if there's already engine mounts in it for a small block, so you'd have to do some fabricating and some chassis work to get a big block to work as well.
Exactly, and I'm not afraid of the fabrication. I mean, you know, we'll throw some pictures off on our social pages of the truck. I mean, I fabricated the whole back of the truck, but it's not that. It's just that, you know, you get to the point where if you're starting to fabricate everything, you're prolonging how long the build's going to be. And it is a business. It needs to be up and running. So like you said, Zach, 383 stroker's based off of a 350 small block. It'll bolt right up. That's what was in there. And, you know, I'm going to probably put a well-built TH400 in it. And again, this is not, you know, not going to be in there permanently, but just so that way I can drive the truck and use it. And you know that type of powertrain is reliable, right? So,
yeah, no, you really can't beat that powertrain. So definitely some very exciting things ahead for the food truck. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then I guess the only other thing that, you know, was really big that we did in 2020 was starting this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, Motor Millennials was something we had talked about, whether it was YouTube content, podcasts, some type of business or just anything, was a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, you spend so much time sitting around and it's, you know, car talk, garage talk, whatever you want to call it. And it's like, well, hey, why don't we share this with an audience that's going to listen in and people who have similar interests with us. And I think we're just scratching the surface. I mean, we've had unbelievable. To Zach, a lot of your credit, you have a lot of great contacts with a lot of the guests that we've had on. Just some amazing people and great stories that we've shared over this year with everyone.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great, you know, team effort with everything. And that's what we like to do, is we like to share the passion. That's the whole purpose of this is to share our passion with everyone that is like-minded like us. And even those who aren't, just to hopefully expand the motoring audience, whether it's with racing or car shows or, you know, whatever, you know, tickles your fancy, as they say. but it's definitely been a great experience for sure. And there will be definitely more to come. And, you know, looking forward to 2021, even bigger things are going to happen then, both for the Motor Millennials content and even what we're planning ahead. So we're talking about resolutions and what we see for 2021. What do you got, Lucci?
Oh, man. Not to eat as many cookies as I ate around the holidays this year.
I'm with you.
Yeah, but from a motoring standpoint, I would say I really want to push myself to stay on strict timelines and finish projects on time. And it's as we know, I mean, there's so many distractions today when you always have your cell phone in front of you. And it's like, you know, even when I'm like working on a car or something, I won't even bring my phone into the garage sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because I just want to focus on one thing. It's like when you always have the phone near you, it's like it's so easy. Like if you're looking something up and then someone texts you or you get notifications. So I'm just trying to just find better ways to, you know, finish projects and really get them dialed in. And really for me, the big thing is getting the food truck, making a lot of progress on that. So that's really what I got to do over the next 12 months. So how about you, Zach? What are some of your motoring resolutions?
Yeah, no, those are great. Those are really, really good. And I think a lot of people can relate to the way you were talking about with the phone and getting, you know, having time away from technology, because it's important for your own mental state and just in general to be present in the moment and not looking at something that's fake online, you know, social media related, especially. So for me, you know, the plan and what will happen, because it's my motoring resolution, is to race consistently next year, to be competitive with racing from start to finish. We're going to start in April and end in the fall. And I'd also like to attend more car shows, hopefully maybe do some traveling, maybe go to some of those concourse events that our friend Bill in our interview was telling us about.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, God willing, with COVID restrictions, and I think we're turning a corner. So fingers crossed with that. And my most important one is to finish the 67 Nova, because that connects to the whole racing aspect, but not only because of that, but because it's, you know, such an important project to our family and my dad and I working on it together. It's really cool. And it's been a lot of fun, and, you know, the bond we share over the car is really, really special and great. And, just looking forward to finishing that early 2021 and using it, you know, together.
So I guess, Zach, are you going to be racing the Nova and your sisters are going to be racing the Camaro, the 94?
Yep, that's the plan. Although I'm definitely going to get my dad in the Nova a couple times this year. So, it'll be good for sure. We're really excited. There's a lot of great things ahead, not only just for us, but for everyone listening too. We know there's a lot of big plans for everybody. So definitely excited for what, you know, 2021 will hold. The the floor was set pretty low. So, I mean, 2021 should be able to beat 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I think if, you know, as I've been kind of taking this week, clear my head and be like, all right, like, I'm going to tackle this, like, stuff head on this year. And if you were able to make it through this year mentally, I think you can take on a lot for 2021. Just leave all this crap behind you and just, you know, go full speed ahead at it.
That's right. Full speed or full throttle.
Full throttle is even better. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So that's what we got with our recap for 2020 and what we're looking for in 2021 and some of our resolutions. Hey, we'd love to hear from our listeners what their motoring resolutions are, or just even their personal resolutions. So be sure to hit us up on our social media on this post that you'll see regarding today's episode, or just in general, slide in our DMs. You know, we appreciate that. We appreciate the interaction. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and Facebook at Motoring Millennials. Anthony and I would love to wish everyone a happy new year. Be safe, be smart, enjoy your time with your loved ones. And as Lucci said, we're going to go full throttle in 2021. Let's do it.
Keep on motoring. Hit it.